Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. It's always good to be together. It's always good to come and to encourage one another, see each other, and to be reminded that God is good and God is great. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 7 in just a moment. And we are thankful each of you could be with us today. We welcome those who are watching us on live stream as well as we come to study, encourage, remind, and thank the Lord who is so good to each of us. And we're thankful for that. For those that are in here, you know us a little different looking here, don't you? Things keep changing. And our goal eventually is to fill this place up with bodies. We want to just keep going and going for Jesus Christ. A couple announcements we need to make. I know Jim's going to go over this in his announcements at the end, but I want to say this out front so we kind of get this thought in our minds. This coming Wednesday, we've started last week with our new series, Fears, Troubles Without, Fears Within. We did a live stream. This Wednesday, we're going to be in-house. So we welcome you to come. We still have the questions out there. You need to put your answers to them. And Jason and I will be together like we were on live stream, but we'll be in here, and we welcome you to come. We'd like you to be here. And then secondly, next Sunday, we're going to change our format just a little bit. We're going to be meeting at 9:30. Everybody's welcome to come. And then at 5 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, we're going to have the different preacher. So Jason will be preaching Sunday morning at 9:30. I'll be preaching at 5 o'clock. And so we won't be doing the same sermon. Some sermons aren't worth preaching one time, let alone two times. So this will be good, and we'll be glad for that. We're glad you could be with us, and we're glad to do these things. Mr. Jordan, I don't have my flipper. I don't know what to do. Preach. That's what I tell you to do, just preach. Okay, so as we think about the Word of God, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 here in just a moment, and we'll get going here as somebody comes down and brings me my magical stick here in just a minute. We'll get that going. There is a game that kids love to play, rock, paper, scissors. A lot of little kids love to play it. My grandkids love to play that. I lose every time because they always wait to see what I do, and then they always do the opposite. They always beat me every time. But what a simple concept that is, and what a simple understanding that is, as we think about the idea of rocks. If we go to the next slide there, the idea of rocks is very important. You know, we have rocks all around us. We use words like pebbles and stones and gravel. Those are all different kinds of rocks. You have rocks in your fish tank. Some of you may have gravel driveway where there are rocks. There are rocks all throughout our lives as we think about that. Diamonds have been called rocks. There are rocks from the moon that are priceless as we think about that. I have two rocks on shelves in my office. One came from the Sea of Galilee that someone gave to me, and another came from the catacombs in Rome. Very old, very important. When we think about this biblically, there's a lot of connections to rocks. We remember David choosing five smooth stones before he went and met Goliath. We think about the idea of Joshua, as they crossed the Jordan River, as it parted, they went into the promised land, that they reached down and picked up the rocks from the bottom as a reminder of such things. We remember that Stephen was executed by rocks being thrown at him. We remember that when Jesus died, a stone or a rock was rolled in front of the tomb. 3 days later, that rock rolled back and Jesus came out. We remember that when Peter made the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And so this morning, as we had just sang, we're going to talk about the Rock of Ages. And we're going to look at a passage that kind of emphasizes this for you. If you've got your Bible, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And let's begin with verse 24. Therefore, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, we're going to come back to this in just a minute. And we're going to go through this passage and show us five simple principles from that ought to be reminders to us about what we mean to this concept of the Rock of Ages, what Jesus had. Now, if we'll go to the next slide here in just a minute. There was a youth lecture this past July in Irving, Texas, where a friend, Mark Roberts, preaches. And it was done virtually because they couldn't have the kids in the audience. Thank you. And the question was put out to the young people, what's on your mind? And they asked a series of questions. And they had the young people answer the questions. 185 teenagers answered the question. And the third question they asked is, what is your biggest fear? And some of them said, missing heaven, that I might mess up somewhere in my life, failing to be a good role model. But I want you to notice more than 50% of 185 teenagers said that my greatest fear is missing heaven. It's impressive that teenagers were thinking about heaven. I think at that age, I probably would have been thinking about the baseball team or something like that. That was their greatest fear. But it's concerning that they're fearful that they may not make it. And I wonder if we began this morning with a little survey among each of you. What is your greatest fear? And how some of us would say the same thing. I just don't feel forgiven. Or I don't think I've done enough. I don't believe I'm a good enough Christian. And all those things run through the hearts of so many people, not just teenagers, but all of us. And what's missing is the assurance, the confidence that I am heaven bound because of the grace of Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 Peter, if you turn your Bible there, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13, Peter says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in a spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fix your hope completely. There was an assurance there that Peter understood. Other translation says, place your hope completely on this grace. And what's interesting about this passage in Peter is when you look at the background of this, they were going through troublesome times much like you and I are. For instance, as you go back to the very beginning of this chapter, it says that they were considered as aliens. We don't fit in here. We don't belong here. That's what an alien is. An alien is a stranger. He's not a native. He's not accustomed to this. We just don't fit in. We are a square peg in a round hole. That's how we're viewed in the world. He also says, in this regard, that they were scattered. Scattered throughout those providences. They weren't together. How similar that is to you and I as we're scattered about because of different things. He says in verse 6 that they're distressed by various trials. He would say in verse 7 that their faith had been tested by fire. And then in verse 8 he says they have not seen Jesus. So when we think about this concept, here's a group of people that were fixing their hope completely on Jesus. It wasn't sunshine days. It wasn't easy times. And yet they were doing it. And when we go back and look at this in Peter, notice what Peter says in verse 3, that they were standing upon a living hope. That hope is in Jesus Christ. Even though they were scattered, even though they're being tried, there was a hope they had in Jesus. He would say in verse 4 that their salvation was imperishable. What they had in Jesus could not be taken away by man. He said that they were protected by the power of God. And that even in the midst of all these things, there was a reason and a season for rejoicing. What he is emphasizing is our hope is completely on Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to go back to Matthew 7. And that wonderful little passage and talk about that. I appreciate the song being led. Rock of Ages. We have another song that says, there stands a rock. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand. Some on the fame or treasures of their land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand. Jesus, the Rock of Ages. We'll get through this because of our ability. We'll get through this because of our jobs. We'll get through this because of our wealth. We'll get through this because of our family. All that's emphasizing is self. And I think about fixing our hope completely on the grace to come. And so when we think about Matthew chapter 7, the wise man and the foolish man, the house on the rock and the house on the stand, we begin, first of all, understanding the decision where to build was a personal choice. The Lord did not say, you have to build on the sand, you have to build on the rock. They could all build on the sand if they wanted to, or they could all build on the rock if they wanted to. No one forced them. It was of their own decisions. Now, I want you to think about this, and this is on your outline here. Decisions determine direction. Think about that for a moment. Oh, I love Jesus. I love going to church. I love all these things. Why are your choices opposite of Jesus? Why do you keep doing things that's not in the Bible? Your decisions don't reflect what you're thinking. Your decisions are going to determine your direction. Your direction determines your destiny. Jesus is over there. I keep making choices that make me go this way and go this way and go this way. And someday when it's all over, why did I not go to heaven? It wasn't Jesus. It was the decisions I make every day. And so the destiny of your life is built upon the decisions you make every day. That's what Jesus is emphasizing in a simple parable. Build your house on a rock, it's going to stand. Build your house on the sand, it's going to fall. Your choice. No one's going to force you. But those are the concepts we see. And so once again, when we think about this idea, what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7, verse 24, hear these words and acts upon them. The ESV says, hears these words of mine and does them. The Common English says, hears these words of mine and puts them in practice. You see, the decisions. I want to go to heaven. Well, then why do you keep doing the wrong stuff? I believe I'll go to heaven. How can you say that when you keep going the wrong direction? Your decisions determine your direction. Your direction determines your destiny. And what Jesus is driving at here is, why don't you do what I say? Back in our Peter passage, therefore, he says, gird your minds or prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in the spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. What he's driving at here is you build your life, you build your house on the foundation of your choice. But that choice takes you somewhere. And that's what the Lord wants us to see. Well, secondly, understand from the simple parable, where they built did not stop the storm. You see, we got one guy who built on the sand. He had wind, rain, and all kinds of torrential storm. The other guy built his house on the rock, and guess what? He had the same thing. It rained, there was a flood, there was torrential rain and all kinds of storms. So building your house does not stop the storm. What building your house does is it makes it stand during the storms. That's the difference we have to see. So often in life, we're looking for an easy way out. Where can I go where there's not going to be any storms? I won't want any more trouble. I'm tired of pandemics. I'm tired of social injustice. I just want to go to a place that says we as a community are trouble-free. There is no place. There's no place like that. And so we see that throughout life. We want pain-free. We want easy. We want trouble-free life. But how often it's not that way? A typical Sunday morning. Kids can't find the shoes. The alarm didn't go off. The dog is throwing up. There's things to do. You go to work and your coworkers don't like you. Your family doesn't understand you. And you wonder, why is it this way? But all through the scriptures, we see that the people of God have been squeezed and pushed and pressured. They were in fiery furnaces in Babylon. There was tears in Egypt. There was lion dens in Persia. There were prisons in Rome. That has always been the situation. The foundation is what makes the difference. And so when we think about this principle, we see, first of all, storms can come quickly. We know that in real life. I mean, I'm sure Danny's been out there golfing before, and here comes a storm. I've done that. You know, you're out there on the golf course, and you're underneath a tree, and you think, this is a terrible place to be. I got a bag of metal irons here, and I'm standing underneath a tree, and it's lightning, and this is not a good place to be. They can come quickly. They come unannounced sometimes. Storms can destroy what took years and years to build. You look at some of these places where a hurricane's gone through, and it's taken a long time for that community to build all those stores, all those homes, all those places. And in one night, the hurricane can destroy all of it so quickly. That's the way it can happen. Storms are something you and I cannot stop. Disciples understood this when they were in the boat with Jesus. Jesus was asleep. There was a storm. They thought they were going to die. They couldn't stop the storm. They woke Jesus up, and all he said is, peace, be still, and it stopped. But they themselves could not stop the storm. You and I, by ourselves, cannot stop a storm. God loves us, even in a storm. Now, again, sometimes we think God is sending the storm because he doesn't like us. But storms happen. And we need to see that. Storms do not skip over the righteous. That's the point in Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, here's two guys. They both heard the Sermon on the Mount. One guy went home unchanged. One guy said, well, you know, good sermon, Jesus, but I'm not changing. The other guy fell to his knees. He changes his life. He does what Jesus says. But to both men, the storm comes. And so you may be doing everything exactly right, and you'll still have a storm. Because that's what the scriptures are showing us. It's not getting around the storms. It's surviving and getting through the storms. And then storms oftentimes do not come one at a time. They come multiple at a time. And we see that so many times in life. Another thing we notice from our Matthew 7 passage. Why would someone build their house upon the sand? When we think about this physically, the sand and the rock, first of all, it's a lot cheaper. You don't have to drill down in rocks, and you don't have to do all the stuff you do to uphold a house. It's a lot easier. It's a lot faster. And, of course, you got a better view. You're right there at the ocean front. What a great place to do that. And it's all based upon it looks good, it feels good. This is something that I like. And, again, that gets us in trouble so oftentimes. The foolish man, one writer wrote, was stubborn. He was going to build upon the sand, even though he'd been warned by Jesus. He wasn't taking the words of Jesus seriously. Now, why would a person do that? Why would a person build on the sand and not upon a solid foundation? Maybe there's never been storms in that area for a long, long time and had a false sense of security. But this isn't about building permits, location, and real estate. It's about our hearts. Why is it that some do not do what Jesus says? Too much trouble? Too hard to change? Everything is okay for now. We'll be better off than most folks. On and on the foolish reason. And on they continue to live ignoring the words of Jesus. And for a while, it looks like the foolish man was successful. The storms didn't come when the lumber was delivered. It came after his house was built on the sand. It was actually completed. And for a while, the selfish life of ignoring Jesus seems to be successful. Nothing bad has happened, people say. I've got money. I do what I want to do. I answer to no one. I'm not tied down by rules. I don't follow an old book. Life is a blast. And it's hard to convince sand lovers that they need to hear the words of Jesus. They live one day at a time in the sunshine of life, and all is well. This may be our family. This may be our coworkers. This may be us. You invite folks to come to services, and they turn you down every time. They're having too much fun to give up Sunday to go to church. They see themselves as pretty good people, and that's all that matters. And that's all that matters is looking good. They are convinced of these things. You and I see trouble coming. We see a marriage that's built upon the lifestyle of good looks, and that comes crashing down someday. We see lives that are filled with indulgences, and we see that beachfront looks good for a while, but it's shallow and empty, and the storms will come. We see trouble coming with their kids. We see trouble coming with their finances. They build upon the sand, and they don't realize what's going to take place. Take your Bibles, if you want to turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter 12. And yet another parable, I believe Jesus shows us vividly, and again, another example of what life looks like upon the sand. In Luke chapter 12, beginning verse 15, he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when man has abundance does his life consist of possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a certain rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' And he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I'll store all my crops and all my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many good goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is a man who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.'" You notice what this man was missing? He didn't say one prayer, did he? He didn't ask God for his guidance. He didn't open up his Bible. It's all me. I did this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I've got many, many years still ahead of me. He had everything in his own hands. And God said, "No, you don't." And to show you that, your life ends tonight. And so this is the idea of building a life upon the sand. Now, what does it look like when a house comes crashing down? And again, that's what Jesus is illustrating here. Our lives can come crashing down. Let me read on what the writer said while I go. Storms come. They always do. They come whether we are ready or not. They come hard and they come fast. They come unannounced. A health problem, financial problems, trouble with the kids, a death, a crisis, a problem. And now that pretty little life built upon the sand doesn't know what to do. There's nothing holding it up. There's no real belief. Life is as good as long as it looks good. But there isn't much value in the dark storm clouds. Rain and wind ruins things. And this life built upon the sand turns to everyone who has a decent answer for them. Opinions are many. Advice is cheap. And the shallow foundation turns to all kinds of unfounded ideas just to hold on and get by. With the storm clouds coming about to hit, the sand lover races to different churches looking for an answer. They go to all kinds of therapy and counselors. They find comfort in bottle and pills. They get angry at the world. They feel cheated. They never realize it was their choice to ignore the words of Jesus. They chose to build upon the sand, and now the sand won't do them any good. That sand is causing them to fall apart. As the storms hit, their lives begin to fall apart. Rather than finding comfort in God, they blame God. Rather than pulling together, they pull apart. It's abandoned ship and every man for himself. Fingers are pointed at others. There isn't enough to blame for everyone. And the saddest part of all, after the storm passes, no lessons will be learned. As soon as they can clean up the debris, they'll begin rebuilding right on the same spot again, on the sand. A new marriage, a new home, a new job, new friends. But the same old problem, ignoring the words of Jesus. This will continue until the final storm comes and their lives end. And then it will be too late. Thrown into eternity, ignored by God because they ignored him during their lives. And they get what they always wanted, life without God. There are no blessings on the other side in hell. There are no prayers heard. There is no hope. There is no future. This is where the foolish man's life ends. And you'll notice on your outline, just an illustration of the misery, the fear, and the pain. Since the COVID-19 pandemic started, divorce rate has risen 34% in America. 31% claim irreparable damage to the marriage. You know what the word irreparable means? You ever have a car accident and the insurance adjuster says your car is totaled? It means your marriage is totaled. It means you cannot fix it. Newlyweds, 20% of newlyweds have separated since March. And 1 in 4 young people have considered suicide since this pandemic. What does it look like when a house crashes? That's what it looks like. Life without Jesus. No answers, no hope, misery, and fear. And so as we wrap this up, we have one other thing we have to look at. And what does it look like to have your house built upon the rock? The rock, of course, is Jesus Christ. And what does that look like? Well, again, going back to this writer, it says, the foundation holds up everything else. All decisions, all choices, all plans are connected to the foundation. Jesus isn't a Sunday thing for us. He is our life. Every thought, every word, every attitude, every decision is supported by this foundation of ours. We are what we are because of the foundation. It doesn't matter if it's a Sunday or a Friday, we will be the same person because of our foundation. It doesn't matter whether we are at home, at work, at worship, or on vacation, we will be the same because of our foundation. And yes, storms will come, but we will not fall apart. We will not give up on Jesus. We will not blame God. We will continue to worship. We will continue to carry on. We will continue to hold to God's unchanging hand. The storm may be intense, but because of our foundation on the rock, we will get through this. We will not collapse. And we think about some simple passages from the book of Psalms that remind us how blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Or the fifth chapter, but let all who take refuge in Him be glad. Or again, we think about Psalms chapter 18. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. If you got your Old Testament, I want to look with me at two passages, if you will. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. This is our reading from yesterday, if you did this. Proverbs chapter 5 is about the adulterous woman. And a father giving advice to his son about staying away from her. But there's a great statement here in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 6. Proverbs 5, verse 6, as it describes this woman, she does not ponder the path of life. She's paying no attention to what way she's going. She's making choices. She's making decisions. Those decisions become direction. That direction becomes destiny. She is not pondering the ways of her life. Now, to counter that, go with me to the book of Daniel. Those of you that are watching our Daniel videos, we're in chapter 9 today, Daniel chapter 9. And read what it says about Daniel in verse 3. Daniel 9, verse 3. Daniel 9, verse 3. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer, supplication, fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Notice that contrast. Here's somebody that says she does not ponder the direction she's going. And then here's Daniel. I gave attention. You see, the outcome is different. A house that will stand or a house that will fall. And we need to understand and appreciate when we talk about this, we're talking more than what we sometimes call the five steps of salvation. Sometimes I think we get the idea that this is a ladder, and if I climb these steps, I climb my way into heaven. Jesus did not give us a staircase to heaven. God made Jesus descend, so by His grace we're saved. Do we need to do those things? Absolutely, we need to do those things. But those things alone is not the answer. We need, number one, to choose what Jesus said. Now, having said that, take your Bible and go with me now back to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus had just finished this powerful sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He ends it. He does not say, let's stand and sing. He ends it by saying, I want to tell you about two men. One heard what I said, and he did it. And when a storm came, his house stood. Another man heard these very words and did nothing. And when the storm came, he crashed. So go back to Matthew chapter 5 and just scan, what does it mean to build my house upon Jesus? Verse 3, 4, 5, and 6, as he talks about the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, not cemeteries, not funeral homes, but mourning because I'm not right with God. Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. He's describing the qualities of the heart. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means my heart has changed. Look at verse 14. You are the light of the world. It means being different, standing out for Jesus. Look at verse 22. Get a hold of your anger, is what Jesus is saying. Look at verse 28. Be pure in your mind, he says. Look at verse 31 and 32. Keep your promises. If you say yes, mean it. If you say no, then mean it. And then look at verse 38 and 39. Don't get even with others. Look at verse 44. Think the best, not the worst. Pray for your enemies. Do good for those. Chapter 6, verse 1. Let your worship be sincere. Don't play church. Don't play games. God knows. Verse 25. Let go of worry. Quit letting worry consume you. Chapter 7, verse 1. Quit being so critical and judgmental of others. Hold up the mirror and looking at yourself. Verse 12. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. And then 13 and 14, follow the Lord. See, that's what it means. Jesus preached this powerful lesson and means to do what Jesus says. It also means to choose to be righteous. That's what Peter said. We are to be holy as he is holy. And then what it means to understand that God will get you through this. If you will, once again, go with me in your Bible, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want you to notice three things here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as Paul was talking about the difficulties he's having. And he would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, be of good courage, I say. I would rather prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. I want to be with Jesus. That's what it means. Look at verse 9. We have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to God. I want to please God. Look at verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith. I walk by scriptures. And so when we think about the simple little lesson, our kids sing the wise men and foolish men. What a cute little song that is. But Jesus had finished his sermon, and now he comes down to them. He has preached. The audience has listened. Now what? And that's what Jesus was going to say to them. Now what? I've given you this life-changing message. Now what? What are you going to do with it? And when you and I read the scriptures, it's the same thing. It's not, did you see that neat little thing that Jesus said there? Do you see that powerful question? Did you see that miracle? The question is, now that I've read scriptures, now what? Am I looking at rocks? Or am I looking at sand? That's what it comes down to. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destiny. And destiny is based upon the decisions in your life. That's what Jesus is driving at. And that's what you and I need to see. We live in crazy times. We live in times when people are ready to have a big mask burning. And maybe we will someday. We'll just get all these masks. We'll just burn them. That'd be a great day. But in the meantime, am I letting worry and fear and the world conquer me? Am I letting my house fall apart? Am I one of those statistics that my marriage is not doing well right now? Are my kids fearful? Have my children, maybe unbeknownst to you, thought about ending their life? A house upon the rock will stand no matter what the storm is. It will stand when Egyptians are around. It will stand when Babylonians are around. It will stand when Romans are around. It will stand in the craziness of America. But a house on the sand, oh, it may look good, but it's going to come crashing down. That's what Jesus is trying to get us to see. And so that's our thoughts for this morning. It really makes us look about our lives. It makes us really look at what is important. What am I doing in this time? And you've heard me say this before, and this is so true to the scriptures. And you can't wait till there's a storm to start thinking these thoughts. Years ago when I lived in Kansas City, I bought all these trees. They're very expensive. I think I paid like $700 or $800 for these trees. And we have a massive ice storm. And I looked out the window, and all my trees, I just knew they were going to break. And you're not supposed to do this. But I woke the boys up at 3 in the morning and gave them hammers. I said, boys, come on. And we went out there, and we chipped and got those little trees to stand up. Because you know what? You've got to do something. And sometimes if we wait till the water's up to here, and I got a hand against the door because the wind's blown so hard, and say, honey, what is it that we believe? It's too late. It's too late. It's what you do in the sunshine is when you build your foundation. Week after week, when Jason's preaching, he's not just giving you sermons. He's giving you a brick. What do I do with those bricks? Do I understand? I'm standing upon those foundations. And so here comes a pandemic. I don't like it. But you know what? It's not going to move me. Here comes social injustice in our community. I don't like what people are saying and doing. I don't like the hatred. But you know what? It's not going to move me. Here comes this problem. Here comes this problem. There's problems coming down the road you and I cannot even believe in what's going to come. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because I stand upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus. A rock is not this church. A rock is not our shepherds. It's not your preachers. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one who's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And that's what we have to see. This morning, if you need some help, we're here to help you. If you want to study some more, we love to do that. You know enough to be baptized to know that's where it begins, to walk with Jesus. We're here to help you. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing?